Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org.
Welcome, everybody. We're going to just get into a passage from the New Testament letter called Galatians. And last few Sundays here at SCF in the month of June, now into July, we've been looking at Galatians, and just kind of a mini-series, I guess is what I called it. So if you're interested, you can go to our website, shanghaifellowship.org, and see the other messages from this series. And we're going to go ahead and look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and then we'll jump down to verse number 13, and then we'll read it all the way through verse number 25. So it goes like this. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. In other words, the list could go on and on. I warn you, Paul writes, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law, which is, I guess, a double negative, right? But which means that there's nothing in the Old Testament that is going to prevent us from loving people, being gentle, being self-controlled, this all these fruit of the Spirit. There's no Old Testament law that tells you can't be like this. Or another way to understand against such things there is no law is to say the Holy Spirit does not need a requirement to do the work that he does that brings about a harvest of fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, his fruit, right? He doesn't need a commandment to do that. The Holy Spirit is going to do this when we allow him to work in our lives. When he works in our lives, he brings a harvest like this. It's just who he is. All right, let me finish. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. All right, now you're going to see, or we put up a picture on Sunday of a little puppy, a dog, running across a field, right? And there's a little bit of a, it's one of these internet images, right, with a little a saying that goes with it. And the little saying that goes with the picture of this dog running across the field with the wind blowing through his fur and through his ears, is the saying is, live like someone, let the gate open. Live like someone, let the gate open. Now, maybe you have to be a pet owner to appreciate this. And I grew up in a home where we owned a pet, more than one. But and the pet we had, the dog that we had when I was a kid, was the kind of dog that if the door was left open, if the gate was left open, off she went. And we all knew that as a family. If you leave the door open, watch out, because she'll get out. And then off she goes. The freedom of running free across our yard and across the street as my parents chased her to get her back. It's that feeling and sense of living in freedom. Now, when people first heard Paul teach on freedom, Some people thought that what he meant was that we are now free, thanks to Jesus and his great grace, we're now free to actually remain the same. We don't have to change a thing. We don't have to become anybody else or start doing any new things or change and have new character traits. None of that. Just keep doing what you've always been doing. You're free to go about that. You're free to carry on as you've always lived. So, for example, if you've been living in witchcraft and you've been practicing witchcraft or chakra meditation, well, you're free to just carry on with that because of the freedom in Christ. People heard Paul teach on freedom and thought this is what he meant, that we can just keep on pressing our arguments until we bring destruction to our friendships like we've been doing. No problem. Letting yourself be carried off by fits of rage, right? Losing your temper, no control over your anger. If that's the way you've been before, thanks to the freedom in Christ now, you can just carry on being the same person. This is what people thought Paul meant when he taught on freedom. They thought he meant that it's okay to continue to strike out verbally or even physically. It's okay to indulge in pornography if that's what you've been into. Just keep going. Carry on. Just keep it up because you're free to do so. Grace has got you covered. That's what they thought Paul meant when they first heard his teaching on freedom. It reminds me of something that happened a number of years ago with some friends, our friends Joe and Sally. We were in the Cleveland area, Cleveland, Ohio, in the United States, and I can't remember now if we were living there at that time or if we were headed back for a visit. But we decided, the four of us, we would go to see a NBA basketball game, the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's the NBA team for the city of Cleveland. And if you're not that familiar with them, you may be familiar with the name LeBron James, because that was when LeBron James was playing for the Cleveland Cavaliers, right? Remember, actually on the team when they won an NBA championship all those years ago. That might even been the year that we were there. But we were going to go to the game, the four of us, Becky and I, Joe and Sally, and we were going to watch the Cavs play. We were going to watch LeBron James play. We got up into the stands before the game started. Sally said, "I'm going to go get something to eat." And so, you know, and she went down, you know, left the stands, left our seats. Here she comes. She's coming back, walking back up to her seat, and she's got a tray with probably the largest bacon and cheese, bacon double cheeseburger that I've ever seen. You know, it was huge, bacon double cheeseburger. The cheese is melting off of the burger, and the grease is melting off of the cheese. And she's got a side, an order of fries, not just a single order of fries, but she's got a double order of fries next to that big bacon double cheeseburger. And she must have read my mind as I was looking at her coming up to her seat. And she looked at me and she said, no, it's okay. She said, "My doctor started me on a new cholesterol medicine today, and it's totally okay for me to eat this kind of thing now." And we just, she laughed, and I laughed, and we all laughed. And I said, you know, Sally, I I'm not a medical doctor, but I just don't think it works that way. I don't think that cholesterol medicine means you're free to eat all the bacon double cheeseburgers you want with a double side of fries. Freedom in Christ does not mean we are free to carry on with all the sinful behavior and choices that we've been making. It just doesn't work that way. When Paul writes about freedom, he's describing a freedom that frees us from the works of our sensual nature and a freedom for a life in the Spirit. And more about that as we carry on, as we go on here. Paul is writing to Christians, of course, and remember, he's writing to Christians who they're Christian people, so they've already experienced the freedom of the Spirit of Christ, a freedom from their old life, their old sinful nature, and they have the benefit now of the lens of the Spirit of God to be able to look back on their old life and their old nature and the way they used to be. They're looking back at it now the way it used to be. When Paul writes about the works of the flesh and says that they're obvious, well, the life we lived in our old nature and that old sinful nature are really only obvious to us once we have the lens of the Holy Spirit to look back through. Once we've tasted of the Spirit of Christ and the freedom that we've experienced in that Spirit, can we really see how obvious the work of our old nature and what it really was, for what it really was. That's why, for example, that's why when we talk to our friends that we used to have, you know, back when before we were Christians, and when they're inviting us to come along and do this or that, some of the things that we used to do, and we might say, you know, I'm just not really into that now, and having become a Christian, I'm just things have changed for me, and I'm just not. And they look at us like, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? They just don't get it, right? Maybe you've experienced that. You just don't do anymore. They're works of the flesh. They're things. They're part of our old sinful nature. I've been free from those things. I've been set free. And people don't always see that. They rarely do actually see that because they don't have the benefit of the Spirit of Christ and the freedom to see things for as they really are. So looking back at how and they were before Christ and before baptism, there's a wow here for us even as we look back at the life before Jesus that we lived. There's a wow. We remember how we were so driven by our need to satisfy all of our passions and desires, wherever those passions and desires would lead us, how self-centered we were, how selfish we were back in those days, and how hard we were on other people, how hard we were on ourselves. Having tasted the Spirit of God, we are now aware that there is a real tension between the old way of being human and the new way of being human that we have experienced in Christ. Paul would describe it this way in Romans chapter 7. He would say, the trouble is with me, for I am all too human, actually a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. And here's the question. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death, by the old nature, right? Thank God there is an answer, and the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's Romans chapter 7. The tension between the old way of being human and the new way of human is a tension that cannot be reconciled, even though we try. Sometimes we try to reconcile that way we used to be, that old way of being human, and the new way of being human that we are in Christ. That's not a both and. It cannot be a both and. It is an either or. Now, I'm kind of old school, and we used to describe this phenomenon of trying to live according to the old way of human being, at the same time you're trying to live according to the new way of being human in Christ, is having one foot in the world and one foot in the church, or one foot in the kingdom. And it just doesn't work. In fact, you'll split yourself in two. The Spirit of God stands in absolute opposition to the old life. And the only way to resolve the tension is not by reconciling the tension or by compromise. The only way to resolve the tension is to let your old nature die, to have a death followed by a resurrection. And this is exactly what Jesus is offering us. He is offering us freedom, not by reconciling the old and the new, but letting the old die so that we might be raised to the new. Freedom from the old way to create in us a new way. He offers us the same experience that he had. He's offering us a death and a resurrection. It's a daily dying to our old nature and our old excuses to be resurrected again. And this is where I have to say, this is where some people get off the Jesus train. When the gospel is presented And this moment of our total surrender to Jesus, the death to our old nature so that the new nature, the new way of being human might be fully resurrected in us, sounds so painful, so radical, and so, well, like I got to commit all of myself to this, that this is where some people historically have said, I just can't go there. I'm not ready for that. That's too big of a, you're asking too much. I would just say that before you get off the Jesus train, don't get off until you have experienced the freedom that comes when you reach the station, when you reach the station called freedom. You know, before Jesus, we couldn't live this way. We couldn't live with a freedom to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to really, really and truly love other people, and to love each other as Christ loves us. Before Jesus, we were not free to live by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit of God. We weren't free because we couldn't. No matter how hard we would have tried, we weren't capable of it. But what's changed in Christ is now we can. We have been enabled by the Spirit. We have been empowered by the Spirit. And what we learn from Jesus is that there is a new way of being human. You know, the word disciple actually literally means to be a learner. And so when we are discipled to Jesus and we are practicing the way of Jesus, it means that we're learning from Jesus. And one of the things that we learn from Jesus is that there actually is a new way of being human. We also learn from Jesus to live in the Spirit, how to live in the Spirit, and how to keep in step with the Spirit. Now, I'm going to transition in just a moment to answer the question, how do we live in the Spirit? So, all right, great, beautiful, I get it. I've got a new nature. It's happened to me. I've surrendered my life to Jesus. He's raised me to a new life and a new way of being me, a new way of being the human me. But how do I live in the Spirit? How do I keep in step with the Spirit? Before I get to that, I want to say this one thing. I want to point out that when Paul describes these things that we just talked about, we just described these things called the works of the flesh, and let me go back up here to again, the sexual immorality, the impurity, the debauchery, the idolatry, the witchcraft, the hatred. When Paul describes these things, he's not describing them as the spirit of idolatry, the spirit of debauchery, the spirit of witchcraft, the spirit of discord. He's not describing them in these ways. In other words, these are not demons. These are not the spirit of something. He calls these the works of the flesh. And that's a different category that we need to look at and we need to consider. It's a biblical category. So that when we're struggling with these kinds of things, they're not necessarily because of a spirit of something. It's because these are the works of my flesh. These are the works of my old nature. These things in my life are on me. They're on me. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that I don't believe in spiritual powers and principalities. I don't believe that there are demons that take advantage of the works of our flesh to torment us and to oppress us and to defeat us. Absolutely. But I want to be really clear here that this is not about our ancestors. This is not about what our ancestors did or didn't do. This is about you and me and the works of our flesh and dying to our old nature, and let the work of the Holy Spirit be at work in us to produce a harvest of fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, self-control, long-suffering, and on and on. That's just a limited list. There's more than that. So let's transition on how to live in the Spirit. Remember that the early Christians were totally dependent on God's Spirit from start to finish. And that's the same position that we should have. From day one until the day we are completed, we are completely depending on the presence and the work of the Holy Spirit in us. So how do we live in the Holy Spirit? Five things I'm going to talk about. Number one, let's decide now that these things, the works of the flesh, these things are not okay. I'll explain more, say more in a moment. Number two, let the Holy Spirit actually do His work. Number three, keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Keep up and keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Number four, do a regular review. And number five, allow yourself to delight in love. All right, number one, decide now that these things are not okay. Now, maybe that seems obvious. Like, yeah, I have to decide now that witchcraft is not okay. You mean that idolatry is not okay? That orgies, lying, stealing, breaking promises. I mean, we're on and on. You know, we're gonna, these things. Yes, because sometimes we have in our minds that there are parts and aspects of our old nature that we are not yet convinced these things are not okay in the kingdom. These things are not okay or acceptable for the new human that I am in Christ. We have some doubt in our mind, and believe me, Satan, who is your adversary, if you have doubt in your mind about whether these things are okay or not, he will come at that weak point and get you confused. That's why we need to decide now, before we are tempted to pick up the works of our old nature, that these things are not okay for me. They're not okay, period. They're painful for me. I never do well with this. This always goes bad for me. This is no place for me to be. And we decide that now. Number two, let the Spirit do His work. Let the Holy Spirit do the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of conviction. Read about it in just the Gospel of John 14, 15, 16. If you want to start there, all the things. Read about all the things that the Holy Spirit does when Jesus is talking about sending the Holy Spirit. And He's describing some of the things that the Holy Spirit does. Let Him do His work, and you and me, get out of the way. Sometimes we're trying to do the work of the Holy Spirit. We're trying to do the things that the Holy Spirit, we're trying to be the Holy Spirit, and we should not do that. Get out of the way. But one more time, Becky and I were talking in our kitchen, and she was at the sink, and we were talking about some specific situation. I don't remember now what it is, but she just stopped, and she said, you know, I just have the sense that maybe what God is saying to us, Dale, is that we need to let the Holy Spirit do His work. Let's take our hands off of this. And sometimes I know with me, I don't know how about you, but I feel like there have been times in my life, in my walk in the Spirit, that that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. Get out of my way. You know, get out of my way. Stop trying to help me, you know, and let me do my work. Number three, keep in step with the Spirit. Keep up. Keep up and keep in step with the Spirit. It's a life of consistent surrender to God in the Spirit. Decide right now that you are going to immediately respond to the prompting and the urges of eternal life from the Spirit as you live each day, especially when you're considering doing something that's one of those things off the list of the works of the flesh. So when you're having a conversation and you think of a nice juicy piece of gossip that comes to your mind, and you're thinking, right now, I could say this, and woo, won't this be a cool thing to say? And won't people think a lot of me, and they'll think I'm so insightful, or they'll think I've got some kind of inner knowledge or a secret knowledge that I could share right now because something was shared with me in confidence that I'm about ready to say. And the Holy Spirit is urging you and prompting you, don't say that. Don't say that. Perhaps the urge, perhaps it's the temptation to watch a little pornography at midnight before you go to bed and you've got the computer on and you're about ready to press send or whatever the return or whatever the key is, right? Enter, you know, and the Holy Spirit is urging you and prompting you, don't press enter. Don't press it. Determine now to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And that when He urges you and He prompts you in this way, you're going to say yes. You're not going to argue. You're not going to wrestle with it. You're going to say yes. I hear you, Holy Spirit. Don't do it. I won't say it. I won't press it. I'm going to look away. I'm going to turn the computer off. And I'm going to get up from the desk. And I'm going to walk away. Determine now to keep in step. Number four, do a regular review. Ask yourself, hey, maybe why I'm kind of living, I mean, and I'm experiencing, I'm sowing, I'm reaping some of the stuff I'm reaping that I don't really like or want. Maybe it's because I've been living from my flesh, but expecting the fruit of the Spirit. Hey, wait a minute. Maybe I need to do a little review here. You know, actually, these last few weeks, I've been living according to my old nature, working in my flesh. And no wonder I'm not sowing and I'm not reaping what the harvest I'd like to see, I wanted to see. Do a little review. You know, there's a definition of insanity that went something like this: doing the same things the same way and expecting different results. We do our old nature, we do work according to our old nature, but we expect different results. Why? Of course, it doesn't make any sense. Number five, lastly, allow yourself to delight in love and to delight in the Spirit. You know, there was a day when you were living according to the old way of being human, you allowed yourself to delight in a little gossip. There was a day when you would allow yourself to delight in a little anger and rage, kind of let your rage just carry you on a little bit. And you liked it. You delighted in it. There was a day when, living according to the old way, you would allow yourself to delight yourself in a little pornography late at night. Allow yourself instead to delight in the love of God Himself. Allow yourself instead to delight in the Spirit. When we try to delight ourselves in bitterness, when we try to delight ourselves in the works of the flesh, we feel terrible. The devil comes and tempts us to say, you're going to like this. You used to like this. You used to really enjoy this. And you think, yeah, I guess I did. Maybe I did. But you forget that it left you broken. It left you empty and defeated. And it's going to do the same this time as well. Delight yourself. Give yourself permission to delight in love with a capital L. Author Frederick Buechner said, to obey love himself, who above all else wishes us well, leaves us the freedom to be the best and gladdest that we have it in us to become. Let's keep in step with the Spirit. Let's live in the Spirit. That's our calling. That's our destiny. That's our vocation. It's to live in the Spirit as followers of Jesus so that we might live in joy, righteousness, and peace. These are the inheritance of the kingdom of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that today is the day you have made for us. And Lord, this word to us today, let it be an encouragement to our heart to live in love, to obey love, and to delight in your Spirit. Lord, for some of us, this is going to be a brand new thing. We're so used to, for so many years, we delighted in our own flesh. We delighted in our old nature. We delighted in the life that we lived where Jesus was not in it. And we had moments of pleasure. Yeah, sure. Of course we did. But it so often left us empty and broken and defeated. But not so with you. Lord, let us be encouraged to live and to delight in your perfect, faithful love for us. And in each other, to delight in loving one another. And the joy that we have in our friendships that we share in you, where you're the center of our lives and you're the center of our friendships, and your gift of love is ours, keeping in step with the Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.